Is it wrong if I tell you I also watch Insecure? It's just to make me feel good
No.
about myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know.
All right. Welcome to Debatable. I'm Clint Yates. He's Izzy Gutierrez. That's June Lee. Everybody looks, I feel like everybody looks very regionally appropriate right now. How cold is it where you guys are? It's actually cold in Los Angeles today. I wore like an overcoat to work today.
It's cold in Los Angeles.
Yeah, okay, let's check the weather. It is
70, what is it? Are we in the 80s today?
No.
It is 81 degrees
Hold
here
on.
In my neighborhood.
Stand by. It's 58 degrees. It's a little chilly this morning.
That's
and,
not chilly.
And it was raining, okay? Welcome to the debate.
That's not chilly.
Yes, it is.
It's
No, that's freezing.
Thank
it's
you.
It's 40 degrees here right now. I came in with a sweater and a jacket, and like I'm feel pretty satisfied for what it is in December. In
okay, first of all, June, take the bass out of your voice. Second of all, we gotta stop normalizing this notion that it's necessary for us to kill ourselves in temperatures in order to feel like human beings. If you don't like the cold weather, that's fine. You know, it's cold comparatively in California. Anyway. I don't even know why I brought that up. Oh, it's because I brought my jacket, and I didn't feel like wearing a jacket. So what's our first topic, Alabaster?
All right.
Brain freeze over there.
We are starting with one of the maybe great coaching performances of all time. How much credit should we give Bill Belichick for last night's Patriots win?
June, you can start.
I think it's like 90% Bill Belichick, because you look at the way that – the Patriots have played throughout the course of this entire season so far, especially on the offensive end. They've changed their game plan on a week-to-week basis. This is not the same team offensively that you obviously saw with the Titans. It's not the same team that you saw against the Chargers. They've gotten better on a weekly basis. Mac Jones is being put in a position to succeed. He wasn't asked to do too much last night. Obviously, three passes wasn't asked to do pretty much anything last night.
Wow, that's quite the understatement.
Yeah, I'm like, he was definitely not doing jack. He was handing the ball off.
But that being said, I thought last night's offensive game plan was very emblematic of the Patriots' entire season, where you have Ramondre Stevenson, you have Damian Harris. Those guys have been awesome locking down the running back position for the Patriots throughout the course of the year. And it's been a big reason why Mac Jones has been successful, because when you have two major running back threats like Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris, it opens up the passing game for Mac Jones to maximize his ability there. And on top of that, Bill Belichick basically planned the game around exploiting Buffalo's weaknesses, which was being unable to stop the run, and they had the personnel to be able to do that. And then also playing with the wind. Like, Belichick has done this in the past before, where he has taken the wind versus taking the ball in overtime, and he was able to not underestimate the weather and the effect that it would have on the game, and used it to his advantage. There was a play at the end of in the fourth quarter where Buffalo misses a kick because of the wind, and they could have gone for it on fourth down, and that pretty much was the game. It was a situation where Bill Belichick did not overthink it. He wasn't trying to outcoach everyone, and he was paying attention to all of the small details. It was ultimately why the Patriots won, because they have such a flexible group of players that they're able to use to change the game plan on a week-to-week basis. They look like a different football team every single week, which is why I think that they're going to be one of the favorites for the Super Bowl as we move forward in the season.
June said the Patriots were able to maximize their usage of Mac Jones, and I just want to make clear that he said that with a C, maximize, which was great. But listen, I'm curious of one thing. Like, when did he come up with this game plan? Like, did he know the weather was going to be this throughout the week? Or did he just, like, was it just a switch that he's like, oh, look at this weather. We're just going to run the ball today, and it's going to work. Like, I don't think this was something where he said to himself, Bill Belichick, hey, we're only going to throw the ball if absolutely necessary today.
Right.
Until he saw that weather. Until he saw the pregame crew get blown off their chairs and say, wow, maybe this is not a good, like, pitching the ball was a question mark in this game to a running back because the wind was so strong. And like, I didn't really recognize this because I was kind of watching the game on mute early on. And when he went for two early on after that first touchdown, I was like, wow, he's really trying to rub it in. And it's like, no, he's just trying not to kick. And so I wonder if this was just Bill Belichick showing off from the very beginning, or showing off even more so once he actually figured out what the weather was. Because, I mean, I don't think on, you know, Tuesday of this week he's saying to himself, hey, we're only going to run the ball regardless of what the weather looks like in Buffalo. Do you?
No, I don't. But hold on. I want to say this. Like, as much as we can call this kind of genius, I felt like the main thing that kept seeming evident to me, I was like, Bills, what are you doing? This is your home field. why do you look like you all are the ones who have no idea how to deal with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a pretty obvious adjustment for me, for Bill Belichick, to be like, okay, yeah, it's gusting like crazy. I'm just going to run the ball. Like, that's how we're obviously going to win. It seemed like the Bills, for whatever reason, couldn't figure out that maybe they should try to get somewhere closer to that too, or do anything differently, because every single play came up, it was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's so windy. Like, dude, look at your opponent. They're right there. There's somewhat of a blueprint right in front of you. I was not impressed with how the Bills played in this.
This is why I was super impressed by it, is because, like, and I can hear Alabaster's eyes rolling at the moment, but, you know, and flag football, it's so easy, especially just in the way we play 7-on-7, just to say, like, look, just go short every single time. Just work your way down the field 2, 3, 4 yards at a time. Do it all. Nobody does it, right? Because nobody has the patience to do that. And in the NFL, where you've got an entire, two positions that are, you know, quarterback, wide receiver, supposed to be there for throwing the ball, like, you eliminate them all together and just run the ball, and it works, and you stick to it, not for a quarter, not for a half, for an entire game. Like, that takes, you know, it takes cojones, it takes, you know, patience, frankly.
Yeah.
And it takes the ability to lead these guys and tell them, like, the idea that you do these run drills over and over and over again, like a Marshawn Lynch, game, it just goes to show you that he is committed to this and he is so good at this, a step above everybody else, when really all he's doing is just what's right in front of you, to Chris's point, just obvious as you know, and clear as day.
Alabaster, your thoughts.
So I think that there are dozens, maybe dozens of people that want to hear about Izzy's flag football team. And to do that, I need you guys to tweet out the links to the show so that people can listen to those tapes.
Right. Let's do that.
Take a second.
Like, I would have gone high school football. I would have gone college football if Gojo was here.
Yes.
You know, it's the only thing I could come up with at the moment. But it was what I was thinking of yesterday. I've already tweeted the show, so I'm going
to
keep talking.
Izzy is comparing himself to Bill Belichick. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm the opposite of Bill Belichick, because I cannot convince my teams to do that. It's always, there's a 40-yard bomb. Why?
I mean,
I love hearing the flag football update, so please keep it going.
Thank you.
I didn't understand why the Bills looked so out of sorts comparatively. Like, it had been one thing if the Pats were just playing a normal game plan and what they were doing was working for whatever reason and what the Bills were doing wasn't working, but, like, this was clearly sort of an all-hands-on-deck situation. And, like, you need this game. This is a division game. You can't lose the psychological battle to the weather pregame.
Who's Buffalo's best player?
Buffalo's best player is their quarterback, and he didn't run the ball enough on the ground with his own feet either.
I think it's a bit of an ego thing. Yeah. Like, it has to go a little bit through him, or Mac Jones is just like, I don't give a leap if I only throw it three times. I just want to win with this guy.
I think you can make a good point about the ego too, where I think that there's not many coaches in the league who would prepare an entire week for playing one of the more talented football teams in the sport, and then would completely throw out the game plan because the wind is awful.
Yeah.
Like, how many coaches are going to prepare an entire week, all the hours that go into game planning, and then once you get to the field and you see people being blown over like they're those, like, two men at the used car facilities.
Let's all do it together.
and are just willing to just run the ball the entire time.
Yeah.
You have to have a quarterback who's willing to buy into that game plan. That's a credit to Mac Jones. And then on top of that, it's a credit to the coaching staff for being willing to completely throw out the game plan and go with what they think is right in front of them, what is obvious.
I agree. Did you guys watch the Manning cast? I did the full 4 quarters on Manning cast, right? And they had some gems. Because, you know, Peyton and Eli like to break down throws and analyze different looks and all that. And there were 3 throws from the Patriots in this game. They were just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, talking about all sorts of other nonsense. It was funny.
Yeah, not the best day for them.
It was hilarious.
I keep forgetting about it. And honestly, like, I hear Steve Levy mention it at the beginning of the broadcast, and then I just forget to switch over a lot of the time and then kind of have to watch the highlights.
It's like this version. It's like the version of this show on Debatable. I mean, on Monday Night Football. It's like the debate. You know what I mean? Because it's just, they're just sitting around talking about, you know, what they see. It's not much.
Flag football.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought they were
flag football. What is the next topic? Let us move on, Charlie.
Okay. We're moving on to some NBA gossip.
Oh.
Okay.
It's my favorite.
What would be the smarter path for the Blazers? Trading for Ben Simmons to pair with Dame, or blowing the whole thing up?
Izzy, our NBA man. Let's start with you.
So I have a hard time just with the question in general, because the idea of Daryl Morey just saying, okay, we don't need Damian Lillard, we'll take CJ McCollum, that's not something that's like, that's, you know, people out of Philly have been reporting is okay. Like, Morey is looking for Damian Lillard, not for CJ McCollum and a couple other people in return for Ben Simmons. However, if that is the case, if there's some reason, you know, he's convinced otherwise, I'm not a fan of blowing the entire thing up if you're Portland, because how often are you going to get a Damian Lillard? Not just a superstar of that caliber, but somebody who's willing to stay and work, you know, with a new GM even, and with, you know, people to rebuild this thing a little bit. And so, you know, they haven't been themselves this year. He hasn't been himself this year. He's dealing with an abdominal injury. He's out for a little bit while longer. And so if you can pull that off, if you can not only keep your megastar in Damian Lillard, but get a better complementary player who, if he just kind of maintains the way he's been playing, you know, the previous portion of his career, will be a Hall of Famer, whether he can shoot a three or not.
Right.
Like, that's the type of pairing in Portland that, you know, you, or any sort of smallish market team that you're always dreaming of. And so, no offense to McCollum or anything else, it's just a redundancy of skills there. There has been over some time. There really hasn't been a backcourt that really works like that in terms of two really just scoring first guys. And so I would absolutely do it. I think, you know, reportedly Lillard wants to play with Ben Simmons, which is not something you hear players talk out loud, you know, and say, hey, I want to play with that guy. So I think it'll obviously be a welcome, you know, landing spot for Ben. So, you know, if Morey is okay with this, if he gives the blessing and allows for this trade to happen, I think that's the way to do it.
June, I tend to agree, basically based on that last part, which is that if Dame Willard wants to do this, you do it. I mean, what are we talking about here? This is Portland. This is not some team or some city that's got outsized you know, plans for what this NBA team is supposed to be. This is going to be the best pairing they've seen in a while, and it's probably going to be more fun than it's been in the last couple seasons. There's no way I'm blowing it up at this point, especially if two guys want to actually do this together. I don't know what they think that their expectations are in terms of the Trailblazers and their fan base, but it's not like the Larry O'Brien Trophy's been walking through that door all sorts every other year for the past 20 years. You get an entertaining product, you get some superstars, you get a good night of the week every other night at the arena. Okay, that's who you are. You're the Portland Trailblazers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I think to your guys' points, like, this is kind of the best situation that they can put together right now, but where the Blazers made a mistake, I think, was not trading CJ McCollum and, like, rolling back with Yusuf Nurkic for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, we knew a while ago that this wasn't going to work, that this personnel group wasn't good enough. You know, they got pretty far in the playoffs once, and then they didn't really do anything to improve that team. They didn't really add a ton of depth. They've added a couple, you know, young guys who are good, like Anthony Simons, but this is Blazers team fundamentally was not built well to continue to win over the course of the last couple of years. So that's the big problem that's happened in Portland, I think. More so than, you know, trying to figure out after the fact, like, you know, McCollum isn't good enough to be a number two on a, you know, a legit really good playoff team, even a championship contender. This is the best possible situation, but I think the fact that this is the best possible situation for the Blazers speaks to how badly the personnel situation has been mismanaged around Dame over the course of the last couple of years.
Let's look at some of Lillard's numbers here. Okay, yeah, he's down about 3 buckets a game. Field goal percentage.
Here's what's concerning
down
to me.
The free throw average is a real issue too. That shows a lack, I don't want to say a lack of aggressiveness, but that's not how you want that to go for a guy that's that ball dominant whatsoever. That's not great.
And that's not Dame's game either when he's not getting to the free throw line.
Right. Oh, drop my pencil.
Anyway. The dangers of live shows. You guys can hear me, okay, right?
What are those things actually called? Like, what are the names of those things? You know?
I think they're tube men.
Tube men? Is that correct? Izzy, I feel like you have information on this. Do you know what those are called?
I do not. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can't hear Izzy anymore. June,
I can't hear Izzy either.
Okay, well then we're just going to point at Izzy and make fun of him. Where do we think Izzy got this shirt? No, this is what we have to do since he can't talk. We have to figure out where...
Express.
I was going to say, that's definitely either Express or...
Izzy seems offended.
Or possibly Armani Exchange. That's possible. Oh, we can't see him. It doesn't work the same way. Dang it. Anyway.
Clinton, have you ever seen... Speaking of Tube Men, have you ever seen the... There's a cousin of the Tube Men, which is the pizza chef guy, who's...
No.
There's a win thing that where the pizza chef guy goes like this.
What is he doing?
He's like telling you to come into the restaurant.
Oh, so it's like Ron Washington waving you home.
Yeah. It's on four. There's one on 14th Street in New York.
I need to check this out.
I see all the time, and it is so hilarious to watch because you see this like enormous pizza man just like you know waving a guy in like he's trying to wave a guy in home.
For those of you who don't know, Ron Washington, third base coach of the World Series champion Atlanta baseball team. Izzy, are we back?
I don't know. Am I?
Yes, you are. So confirmation on where we got the shirt.
Ted Baker. It's not an express. Slightly offended.
It's basically upscale express.
Upscale express, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same.
Upscale, like with tiny sizes. One thing I was going to say, I was a little bit concerned with the Blazers is, you know, you saw those defensive ratings up there this year. They're 29th. They were 30th at some point. And this was Chauncey Billups, like, lighting up his team about defensive effort and saying, hey, our starters shouldn't have to inspire our bench. It should be the other way around and did this and that. And, you know, when you have a new coach, when you got a guy that you respect, like, the one thing you do is play hard for him. And it doesn't feel like they're doing that.
No.
At least, you know, by his own words, it doesn't feel like they're doing that. You've got Damian Lillard, who when he was playing, like, not very happy with the situation because in large part he's not being used as much in the pick and roll. And maybe that could be, you know, by design to sort of get him, you know, comfortable or get the defense's eyes off of him, maybe move him around off the ball a little bit more like Steph. But talk about a guy who fits into that situation right there as a ball-handling pick-and-roll guy. It's Ben Simmons. So if you're going to take the ball out of Damian Lillard's hands, I'm cool with giving it to Ben Simmons, forcing things into the paint or just, you know, kicking out to three-point shooters. He was great at that in Philadelphia, I believe, you know, created the most three-point shots last year while he was there. So, I think if you're the Blazers right now and they fired Neil O'Shea, which didn't have so much to do with his moves on the court or, you know, what I'm saying.
Yes,
it was bigger issues there with Neil. But, you know, who else are you going to listen to your point there, Clinton? Like, this should be Damian Lillard's time to speak up and be listened to. And again, to me, this isn't a Portland decision. This is a Philadelphia decision. But if they're okay with this, I think it's a great move.
All right, what's next?
All right, moving on to more basketball. And we have Steph Curry, who's inching towards the all-time three-pointer record. And our question is, should Steph Curry go all out and try to make 16 threes tomorrow night against the Blazers?
I mean, why not?
That's the opposite of inching toward.
Yeah.
Because he's like full like foot or metering toward this.
It's like a Mack truck coming down the road, a runaway. You know, when you have those things on the highway where it's like runaway truck, you got to go up a ramp in order to get all the momentum gone. He's doing more towards inching towards this. This is one of the most impressive seasons I've seen out of anybody in a long time, June. I love this. You got to go for broke.
I think on top of that, too, the guy that whose record he would be breaking for most threes in a game would be his teammate, Klay Thompson. So there's like a double incentive to like, you know, you have the friendly competition between Steph and Klay. And I think that's what makes them so great together is because they push each other. But on top of all of that, it's also that Curry can, I think all the teammates, all of his teammates, his coach, they're in on trying to make this happen, giving him the space to be able to go for 16 threes in a game. It would be awesome to see. And obviously Curry is, I think we need to start talking about him as truly within like the, you know, the pantheon NBA level, you know, greats in terms of not only his impact
on Rushmore.
Yes, the ever evolving conversation around Mount Rushmore of the NBA.
Right.
But Curry, beyond just like you know, completely changing the way basketball's been played over the course of the last couple of years, the fact that he's had this like second wind and he's played this well this year, this far into his career, is such an absolutely unbelievable thing, given that his game is so predicated on movement, on being quick, on getting around screens, on playing off of guys. Like, Steph has been so impressive this year, and it's the reason why the Warriors are in a position to be one of the NBA final favorites right now.
Well, the funny thing is, Izzy, is that even if he scored 16, like, 16 threes isn't some crazy number. Like, I saw that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I can see that happening. You know what I mean? Like, I realized that it would be a record. I realized that it would break it. But, like, when I just think about that.
It's almost 50 just on threes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I could see that happening pretty easily, Izzy.
Yes, I can. Especially, all right, go ahead, Alabaster.
Hold on, just before you go, Izzy. June, are you saying that we need to pay more attention to Steph Curry?
Steph Curry is underrated.
Steph Curry is not underrated. Wow. You just know too many old guys that talk about other old players too much.
We have incepted you.
Yeah, he's the only guy that won the daggone unanimous MVP. Like, he's correctly rated as having completely revolutionized America in terms of basketball.
I don't know. I just heard an ESPN Daily podcast.
Have you been,
just heard an ESPN Daily podcast about Kevin Durant shooting two-pointers.
Okay.
Steph Curry seems to shoot three-pointers at similar efficiency, so we should talk about him more.
I say he's revolutionized America in that if you go to any youth basketball situation, more kids play like Steph Curry than they play like anybody else. That's what I'm talking about, just in terms of the style of the game. Forget about the NBA. You can look at the levels on down, and you see a lot of influence of how he is and how he plays in the joie de vivre, if you will, that he brings to the game. Like, you see all these clips of him throwing the ball in the air. They're still having fun out there in Golden State. And that, to me, is kind of the coolest part about all this. He hasn't turned into some grizzled old guy who's like, I'm going to show you all. He's having a blast. You know what I mean? And I don't know, man. I've always enjoyed this guy's, body of work.
He kind of dances like an old man.
Yeah, you know, he's great.
A testament to his influence among young people, too, is that he has made Under Armour sneakers at least a little bit cool.
Little bit.
Like, Under Armour sneakers, not really cool at all, but Steph Curry's line has made it a little bit cool with young people.
This is true.
I'm going to argue with Clinton a little bit there. I have never seen a kid at a park play like Steph Curry.
Well, no. I mean, nobody plays like Steph Curry. But you get out to these AAU tournaments. You get out to see these high school games. Look at a player like, let's just say, LaMelo Ball. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's obvious with him, watching him as a pro now, who was younger when Steph was coming up, what kind of an influence he had on the game. You can just see that type of a player in terms of the younger stars in the league and what they look like now from a game style standpoint. I don't know, man. Steph Curry to me is – I mean, it's hard to say because we had so many in a short portion of time between, you know, obviously in my lifetime, Jordan, Kobe, Iverson, you think of other people, Shaq, but like –
LeBron.
LeBron, yeah, I mean, LeBron's on a different
Mahmoud
planet.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Mahmoud's on a different planet. But Steph, to me, is obviously up there. It's not, this is plenty talked about in my household, June. That's what I'll say.
And the worst part about Steph's influence, though, is that when you play pickup basketball games, it's enabled people to take three-pointers from, like, 10
feet. This is what I'm talking about.
Behind. And it's like, guys.
They used to say Kobe on a fadeaway. Now they say Steph from 40 Steph feet out.
We don't need this.
Don't do it.
You can't make the shot.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Revolutionized America, one basketball court at a time. What's next, Charlie?
Before you move on.
Yes.
I have – June, you brought a lot of great points, but I have one more quibble with you. Are you saying these are the shoes that revolutionized Under Armour shoes?
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
You're right.
We don't need this slander.
Alabaster, I'm not saying that they are cool because I don't think that they're cool, but you go to a youth basketball game, an AAU circuit, you will see a lot of kids wearing Steph Curry shoes.
It gave them a legitimate market space. You know what I mean? They didn't have there before. You know, Under Armour was just not basketball. It was like Maryland football and high school sports and stuff like that.
If Under Armour's Steph shoes actually looked cool, they would be much more popular.
Yeah, that's true.
Going back to this game coming up against the Blazers, because of that defensive numbers that we just showed, it seems pretty possible.
Very doable,
You know, they're without their starting backcourt. And I wonder, though, like, if Steph doesn't want to do it. Because if he has to break Klay Thompson's record of 14 in a game, Klay's already depressed enough as it is. Like, Klay's mad he's not in the top 75. He really wants the ball. And then you come in and your boy just broke your record, and you know you're not going to get anywhere near that anytime soon again. So it's just like... is Steph a good teammate, and will he keep it at 13 or just tie it at 14 and then just call it a night and say, Klay, that's all you. Welcome back whenever he comes back.
A little bro code, if you will. I like this. This is
Flash bro code.
Yeah. This is cool. I you know what? I'll buy that, as we like to say on another program. Yeah. I'm buying that.
If you want to go further, Andrew Wiggins just came off of, I believe, a career-high 8 3-point game last night against the Magic. How about he just keeps feeding him, gives him double-figure three-pointers, and see, like, hey, we've got a third, maybe fourth Splash Brother with aptly named Jordan Poole being the fourth.
Quickly, do you all think the Warriors can win the NBA Finals?
Oh, 100%. They're,
okay,
they're,
I do too.
They're my pick right
when
now.
When healthy. Well, they need more size, but yes, when healthy. Mm. And I don't even necessarily, yes, and that's without knowing if they make an upgrade in the front court, not even knowing who they bring on. If they do that at the trade deadline, I'm still saying yes, not knowing who that person is. So, yeah, I believe they can.
Okay. I want to see Wiseman come back and see how good he looks. But I think it's going to be fascinating. And I've said this with you guys before. When Klay comes back, how much space they give Jordan Poole to keep doing his thing, because he's been awesome this year. Because, you know, he's been good enough to be a pretty big offensive anchor on a championship team. And on top of all that, you know, I think they have the depth. There's you know, they signed Otto Porter. They got Gary Payton II. Like, there's a lot of guys on this team that I think really sets them up to make a long playoff run, not just be a really good regular season team.
Their new look.
Three words that could throw a monkey wrench into all of that.
What's that?
Is plant-based vaccine, which is what reportedly Kyrie Irving is potentially going to take one day and could return. And if he returns to that big three in Brooklyn, like, they're already leading the East, I would argue that their firepower might be a little bit overwhelming, even for the Warriors. But those three words could come into serious play when it comes to handing out that Larry O.
The place that would push back on that, though, is that the Harden, Durant, Kyrie trio hasn't played that much together.
Yeah, I don't.
Even last year.
I don't necessarily know that means that they're going to, like, they need Kyrie back to win it all. But, like, I don't necessarily know that getting him back. By the way, plant-based vaccines, that's what we're doing with net coverage these days. This is what we have to pay attention to in order to figure out whether or not they're going to put their team together.
If that dude takes a shot for basketball, you better know it's going to be not for him to just, you know, dilly-dally around and get 27 points a game. Like, they're going to win it.
Wow.
Like, they're going to do whatever it takes. And so if he comes back, I would place them as the favorites.
Separately, the Warriors, dude, their new court and their new uniform, I can't stand them. I don't like it at all. They look like the Harlem
Globetrotters.
They look like the Harlem Globetrotters mixed with something else. I don't like that court at all. I'm sorry. Just saying. Bring back the Greek god with the lightning head or whatever that weird thing was. That thing was cool. B. Diddy era. What's next?
I love the new blue uniforms. Yeah. I think they're awesome.
All right, okay. Guys. It's time to play a game.
All right.
And that game is Whodunit. We'll give you a quote.
Whodunit.
You tell us whodunit. Our first one.
The silhouette's back. I feel like every other show, the silhouette's there or not there, and now Charlie's just messing with me on the cards. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, our first quote. My brother as a kid, my niece, and usually I don't like carrying newborns. They're just so fragile. She's 2 months old, and I've been putting off picking her up. Yesterday I picked her up, and she peed on me. I don't know. Maybe that was it. Maybe that's why I had a good game. And your choices are Siakam, Blake Griffin, Andrew Wiggins, or Anthony Edwards?
Now, I'm going to offer my quick analysis here, which is that let's get to that middle sentence. This is important. I usually don't like carrying newborns. They're just so fragile. So this would lend you to believe that this is more of a knockabout player in the NBA, not necessarily a guy with a lot of touch, you know what I'm saying, around the basketball, because this is obviously not something that they enjoy to do. Now, that's just a personal analysis. I don't know if you guys took that from that. But some people who are clumsy know that they're clumsy, and they don't want to be carrying things that are fragile for that reason. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but some of the big tough guys are also, like, gentle giants.
That's true, too.
You know?
That's true, too.
One guy on here that's historically a great quote, and that's Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
I don't think he
had a great
too.
Game yesterday.
I think
I might have spoiled this and say Andrew Wiggins with his 8 threes.
I thought it was Anthony Edwards too, because he's the youngest guy on this, and he's probably a little bit afraid of, like, of just babies in general, like a 20-year-old, you know?
What?
So I'm right there with the good quote analysis of Anthony Edwards with Izzy.
We're out of time. We have to find out.
Let's get the reveal.
My brother, he has a kid, and my niece,
and usually I don't like carrying newborns.
Like, I don't know. I feel like they're just so fragile, and it's like, you know, like, she's like 2 months old, and I've been like putting off just, you know, picking up.
Clinton, this isn't your fault, Clinton.
But then,
you can't hear Siakam talking right now, but we can't hear you because you're talking over Siakam like I am now.
I don't know. Maybe it was that.
Great, tremendous production.
My question is,
tremendous production.
Now, is he going to require an infant to urinate on him ever again,
okay,
or just before the big games?
First of all, that coat was really nice. It looks like the one I wore to frigid Los Angeles productions, you know, studios this morning. But I tried to give you guys
Except
a
yours
hint.
Was from Express.
I tried to. Mine is from H&M. Actually, it is from Express. I tried to give you a hint. You know, Siakam is the best example of the player I was describing. But it's okay because I knew it.
I'm not going to lie. I was very disappointed in myself for guessing Andrew Wiggins because I have never actually heard him say an interesting quote. Not that he hasn't. I just haven't heard it.
All right, what's the next one? I'll shut up on the next one, Charlie. My bad.
All right, all good. All good. Our next one. I'm Paul George, so when the team needed it most, I came and did what I do. It's great being 13. I'm a special player. And your choices are Paul George, PG-13, Playoff P, or Reggie Jackson.
Oh, this is
let's pull back the curtain a little bit. We're having a sound issue, as you noted, by me running my yap over the Pascal Siakam quote. So I had to listen to these quotes beforehand. Now, Izzy, being the, you know, ever prepared man that he is, didn't want to spoil it, so he took his headphones out and was like, I guess if the person's talking in the third person, they're kind of a giveaway, but the clues have indicated otherwise. Izzy,
it's got to be Reggie Jackson, right? Hey, we want to talk to Paul George. No, can't talk to Paul George. Reggie Jackson says, I'm Paul George, and finishes the quote. Am I right?
Yes, you are right. But this is funny because it's not just Paul George and Reggie Jackson that are present. There was a three-man crew, and they were all having some fun. Let's roll it.
Once again, stops. I'm Paul George. So when the team needed it most, I can't do what I do. So it's great being 13. I'm a special player.
That was great.
Paul George talks like that in the locker room?
Probably. You know, I'm great.
I'm special. You think that's what he yells out? Like people when, you know, you hit a big shot and like you wonder what the hell they're saying. Like, let's go. He's like, I'm special. That doesn't really work out the same, does it?
June, are the Clippers gelling? Is this a gel moment for you, for the LA squad?
Whoa. It shows that there's at least, you know, enough chemistry to poke at each other. I think everyone should just walk around just saying their names, being like, I'm June Lee. Like, this is my deal.
Trust me, it happens more than you think in my life. I'm just
of course
that.
It does.
The Clippers, though, speaking of Los Angeles, though, the Clippers quietly, you know what I'm saying, putting things together. You got the staff there. They're fifth in the West without Kawhi Leonard. The Lakers, Lord knows what's going to happen with that team. The Clippers are about as good a position as I think anybody could have expected them to be in at this point in the Western Conference, is he?
Kings of L.A. Is that good enough?
Yes.
Because I don't really know if – I mean, I've got to see Kawhi Leonard play, and I've got to see him play at a high level.
Right.
What is encouraging is, you know, not only Paul George, but even Reggie Jackson coming off of what he did last year, last playoffs, and looking like that player again. Like, I thought there was some concern about him before he signed with the Clippers. Obviously, they got him, what, for the minimum, right? At least last year. And so, yeah, I think they're a team to be reckoned with, but I don't know to what level until I know whether they can be that, you know, shut down defensive team that we thought they would be with Paul George and Kawhi. So, you know, you put them, line them up a healthy Clippers team against the Warriors, and you say, well, I mean, maybe they can defend the same way the Suns can, but do they have the offensive organization and sort of the direct, like, I know how I'm going to win. It's Chris Paul, it's Devin Booker in the fourth quarter versus a kind of your turn, my turn thing
right.
with the Clippers that never really developed into something of, you know, real chemistry.
What would you guys say if somebody asked you to talk as me? Would you be that kind? I feel like Reggie Jackson is actually pretty kind, considering. He could have taken that to the whole other level and really made fun of him. He didn't. He did it well.
If I was doing my best Yates impression, I would just start talking and then I wouldn't stop.
Just. You sound like the people.
You should have dropped it.
You sound like the people in my house.
I would talk through a commercial break, like, and you would come back from the commercial break and you're still on the exact same thought.
I love it.
I'm Clinton Yates and I do not allow Pascal Siakam's voice to be heard.
Never. Never. We must get peed on in order for me to stop talking. What's next?
Oh, okay.
Playoff peed on.
All right. It's time for another game.
Okay.
And that game is What Are the Chances? We give you a topic, you tell us the chances. First one. What are the chances someone other than Bryce Young wins the Heisman?
Oh, okay. I'll go first because my name is first on this. I'm going to say 0%. I just think that this kid has had too many moments in terms of, like, you know, people talk about Heisman moments and this, that, and a third, but, like, I think he's actually had a couple, and this team is too good to ignore. There's not been any enough – there's not been anybody who was a big enough standout elsewhere to dethrone the guy who's the quarterback of that team, of Alabama.
Is there a card with the other finalists that were invited to New York there? So I know it's the there we go.
Aiden Hutchinson is a good player.
Will Anderson also deserves to be on there. He's been such a big impact for the Alabama defense.
Yeah.
But I not. Wouldn't go with a number. I would just go with a fart noise. Because, like, I mean, why would anyone other than Bryce Young win this? I mean, he's been the difference between Alabama. I mean, at the beginning of the season, people were questioning whether or not Alabama would maybe lose a couple games. And the X factor was whether or not Bryce Young was going to be one of the best quarterbacks in college football. And so I think that it is undeniable that he's been one of the most impactful players. He's been the most impactful player, the most influential player in all of college football this year, because he's swung Alabama's fortune from being a maybe two-loss team to being a team in position to win another national championship.
I was wondering if you were actually going to draw something out there or spell it out. And when you spell it out, it's a better option because now you know what kind of fart it was as well. Look, my biggest concern is when the voters voted, because if they turned in their ballots before the SEC championship game, maybe their last memory of Bryce was, you know, Auburn and only that one great throw, late in the game to tie it. But I think it's probably like a 2% chance that somebody else wins it. I'm just not. It just hasn't really been the overwhelming year to suggest that there's any favorites. And then Bryce just kind of became that guy. And it's just like a default vote, it feels like. Could have given it to C.J. Stroud had he not, had that game, or had Ohio State not had that game against Michigan. I'm pretty sure he would have been that favorite. But I'd say Bryce is easily.
It's always amazing to me, too, when in, like, 2021, we're like, oh, we don't know when the votes came in. I'm like, you guys can't figure this out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not dealing with, like, snail mail anymore, where guys have to mail things in from Louisiana or Utah to some central office. Like, people should be voting in a timely manner. We have the technology for this. You know, anyway, I'm never going to.
We could ask
that.
Tim Kalishaw of Dallas Morning News, but he's too big for this show.
Apparently. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. We did not have the budget to get Tim Kalishaw.
But he is a Heisman
voter. Do you guys
voter.
Not send in your award votes via Telegram? Is that not like a thing?
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, the votes from the West Coast are coming in now. Yeah. Like, this is not a presidential election.
You're not interpreting clicks for, you know, three clicks for Bryce Young, like two clicks for Aiden Hutchinson. Like, that's not how this works.
No, no. I got to meet a lot of Heisman, winners this year. I was doing based on Heisman House stuff. That was fun. You know, so I've been around the trophy quite a bit myself, but I don't have a vote. Maybe next year.
I think it's worth noting that while none of you three have a Heisman vote, Gonzalo Papi Levitard does have a Heisman vote.
Really?
Which is a testament to how beautiful the structures of these awards and how much they actually mean.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a good spelling.
Who do you think he voted for? Had to be a Hispanic player, at least one with Hispanic sounding name.
Right.
None of those you can really pull off. Kenny Pickett.
Oh no! Put the names back up there, Alabaster. Let's try to do this.
Yeah.
Let's see who has
Bryce
the most.
Young. Bryce Hoving.
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably the best thing you could
do
there.
Yeah, that's tough. We'll see. What's next?
Aiden could be a Hispanic name, but
Aiden
not Hutchinson.
Could be.
Hutchinson is too Midwest.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Last topic in the show. We got a video-based one here. We got a clip for you.
Here we go.
What are the chances that this is the only hockey highlight we show all season?
I can't wait to know what this highlight is. Like, oh, the dogs.
Ah, yeah. Aww.
We've gone to the dogs. Look at this. This is in Philly, a place where they're not normally the tamest of human beings watching hockey games. I'll get that shot off right
Somebody
now.
Somebody didn't time this properly. This dog clearly needed a break. In Philly, though, if you win championships, they might eat that.
What right? are you doing? Izzy!
Wow.
What? Didn't some dude eat horse poop after the Eagles won?
Oh, that's like, true. I forgot about that.
This is at least on ice.
I forgot about that. It's at least on
The only way to make this highlight better
a poopsicle.
Is if... The only way to make this highlight better is if we had Gritty just run in from the rafters.
Well, right. See, this is
and
this
chase
is,
after the dog.
This has become the problem for me with the Flyers is that I don't care about anything unless it's Gritty related in their social media game. You know what I'm saying? Like, where is Gritty is what I'm always asking myself whenever they do something cool, because that they are everywhere. Gritty, that is. You think Gritty probably...
I like how you're trying to deflect away from the what we're... There was a dog pooping in the middle of the rink, Clinton.
I know that.
I don't care about the the mascot.
I know that.
I don't care about Gritty. I care if this was Nutty.
And it's not even...
Basically.
It's not even,
I want to know what this dog's
it's
diet...
It's not even necessarily all that well constituted. There are some messes that are harder to clean up than others. That one looks like a particularly difficult one. I didn't want to get into all that. I just want to know who the person who has to clean that up is. That person deserves a raise today.
Why did it look that difficult? Did it not look firm to you? It looked like a pretty solid poop.
Oh, my God.
Listen, maybe my resolution is a little worse than yours, but that didn't look great.
Okay.
Hockey players, in the hockey locker room, too, like, there's a particular, like, media members aren't allowed to step on the logo, but
yeah.
No one's going to do anything about a dog taking a literal poop on the logo. Which I think.
What are the dogs checking for? Are those like bomb dogs, like checking underneath the ice?
I don't know.
Is someone hiding drugs under the ice? Like, is there like a drug ring happening?
That would not be out of the question for Philadelphia, to be quite honest. But
I think the fact that the dog is allowed to poop on the logo and has no repercussions speaks to where dogs lie in the pecking order of our society, which is like. Humans and then dogs are on the pedestal that we all worship.
They train those dogs so well, and they can't train them not to do that. You think those?
I've literally spent like the last 2 months just watching videos of huskies speaking because they bark so funny.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just makes for quality videos hour after hour after
those
hour.
Those are great.
So maybe I'll just throw in a dog pooping on ice.
Okay, so the chances that I'm gonna say that there is a 5% chance that's the only highlight you show all season, because something is going to happen in the playoffs with some wacko in the crowd who's going to do something just crazy enough to get your attention. It won't be a dog, though. It'll be
only one answer, and it's the same as my last answer, number two.
Some guy in like Tampa or whatever.
We also have the hockey rights now, though. So isn't there like a business decision?
You're getting into murky waters here, June. I would think. We would be showing more hockey highlights, but that's just me. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to go with my last answer, too, which is just a fart noise, because it's
I can't believe how well
spell this one?
I can't believe how well that worked out.
Put it like an R and a B in
there. We're not closing the show until you write something, Charlie, so figure it out.
Can we make it?
You got to write something on that card, Charlie. We need your creative comic timing right now.
We can't
somewhere
make big bucks for.
I want a slightly wetter fart sound too, versus like the drier one we had earlier.
Uh oh, wait, let's wait for it. What do we get? Please write poop.
I'll let him
Please
let
write
him
poop.
Draw that somewhere Conrad.
Oh! He punted on everything. Well,
okay, but I do have some bonus topics for you.
Okay, that's fine.
The first one is a poll that we put out at the start of the show. And we were asking how many times Izzy will mention his flag football career today. 80% of viewers thought he'd mention it more than 25 times. So the 20%
that the under.
Good work.
Hammer the under.
So wait, Izzy, are you like, okay, this is a real actual question. What NFL football coach would you say that not your coaching style is like from an X's and O's standpoint? We went over that. Clearly you're the Belichick. Of the Fort Lauderdale, whatever league. But who is the demeanor with which you coach like? Like, what person that is now an NFL coach or ever was an NFL coach?
Sean McVay.
Oh, okay.
I'm yelling into my play sheet whenever they don't execute it properly. I'm like mother effing my quarterback under my breath. Absolutely. Yeah, that would be my style. In terms of my actual style, I'd say I'm a little bit, in terms of offense, but a little bit more Andy Reid. A little bit of misdirection, eyes over here, pass over here. A little bit of that going. Not that fundamentals nonsense that Bill Belichick's hammering home all the time. Like, we don't really work well with us.
I love this.
By the way, it should be noted, I didn't bring that up. Clinton did.
Izzy, I'm curious, what is the most angry you've gotten during a flag football game?
Probably Washington, D.C. quarterfinals of the Gay Bowl, and we were ahead by 10 in the second half. And then once we fell behind with 4 minutes remaining, our quarterback decided to play like there was 4 seconds remaining into a wind. And it was just, I mean, I had to cry after the loss just to keep from killing somebody.
Wow. That was a journey.
And it was a road trip interrupted by there was Hurricane Matthew that kept some of our players from getting there till the last minute. And so we were just like getting it together. It was the best, most talented team we've ever had. I would argue the best, most talented team this league has ever seen. I mean, losing the quarterfinals to a team from D.C., of course, on the comeback trail.
Yeah, spoilers.
That reminds me, guys. Like, what, it was such a good day.
I love it. District of Champions.
I need a whole back. I would watch Hard
30 for 30 short.
Hard knocks. Right. Hard knocks based on your league and your coaching style. I would watch that. I would watch that for sure.
You know what? I will start videotaping. We'll do like soft knocks.
Yes.
Okay. We'll call it soft knocks.
Yes.
And, yes.
And I'll put together a little video for us. All right. While we're preparing for the Sunshine Cup, which is the tournament that we host here in Fort Lauderdale. Come on.
Okay. Soft knocks. We're not getting anything better than soft knocks all day, Charlie. So
we do have one more topic.
Okay.
And that is a tweet from our friend, Long Live the Queen. And Her Majesty tweeted, Izzy would rather talk about flag football than ranked Florida losing to 0-7 Texas Southern yesterday in basketball.
Oh, I did send out a text yesterday to someone actually who works in the network saying how sad I was that that happened. And perhaps they should look into Mike White's, job.
Did you tell them that you guys were down like 20 points and getting dunked on routinely the entire time? Did you remind them of that part? Because it wasn't close.
I did not watch a second of the game. I feel like I jinxed them because I said something good about them like after they beat Ohio State or something. And I was like, hey, maybe this team is worth, what just happened?
It was never close. It was wild.
So this isn't like the best 0-7 team in the history of basketball, right? Like, is this something that we're missing here? Like, they got all their starters back right before this game.
I don't know.
And Florida's like, whoa, we don't know what to do. Is that what happened?
I don't know, but there were a couple guys that got their heads dunked on who looked like they didn't know what was going on. It was pretty wild, but, that's just me. Just watching games.
Yeah, that seat might be warm underneath White Mike.
All right, we're done. Mercifully, we've come to an end. Thanks for everybody.
Yeah, Clinton's clearly got somewhere to go. So
I don't have anywhere to
go.
It's cold in Los Angeles. We went over this. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to the beach today. I might go to the beach today. But I'm going to wear a...
Hey, I love your. I love the shirt, June, and I love your Instagram account.
Your Insta is so
informative
good.
These days.
And I like your theory about why that they're going to their individual accounts right now. Go check out June's Insta.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Goodbye.
It's a huge deal.
Follow everybody.
Worldwide leader in sports.
Talking about dogs on ice. Taking craps. See you later. Hot mics. Oh, yeah, follow us. Undebatable. This way.
Oh, we get the podcast form now.
Really?
Oh, the podcast now?
They didn't tell me that.
Great
review. Are you guys not on social?
Goodbye.